2025 is full of unknowns, already has been full of unknowns, all kinds of things in the last several weeks, and going into the upcoming weeks and months, full of unknowns, right? Headlines scream uncertainty. What will truly come across the next 4 years following tomorrow's presidential inauguration? Speculation abounds from all angles. We just don't know. It seems true about so many things. We just don't know. This rings true about numerous situations in history, politics, the way things operate in our world, even the cosmos itself. We just don't know. A human admission of limitation has frequently supplied the impetus for pursuing all manner of new knowledge. Motivated by that kind of statement, we just don't know, or we need to know more, or I'm just not certain. Impetus constantly for pursuing all manner of new knowledge. Science is just one discipline rooted in that continual quest. Need to know more. The proliferation of ologies and osophies also bear witness. We constantly long to know more. Fascinating to realize what is true of God's nature and activity, God's very nature and activity, how he meets us in our unknowns. Our next omni-concept in this series entails our Creator's capacity for knowledge. Prepare to have your own perspective messed with and reshaped, marvelously expanded even. From a human vantage point, we can say this is truly, omniscience is truly mind-blowing. Paul Enns explains that omniscience is that characteristic of God that means he knows all things, actual and possible, whether past, present, or future. Now ponder that and sit with that for a couple turns of your own thinking pattern. Does God already know all about post-inauguration? Well, according to this definition, the answer is a resounding yes. 2025 conveys great curiosity. Who knows what the year holds in store? Does anybody know for sure? Well, according to N's definition, and according to what the story, the ancient redemption story of the whole scriptures show us, God does. God knows. He already knows what will unfold. Such realization is truly stunning. What about your own year to come? All those unknowns and uncertainties. What about it? How about it? Who knows? God does. No doubt you have already started crafting some exciting plans and big dreams. Very good. Very good. Jolly good. It truly. I am praying and percolating on several of my own. And by the way, Bob Goff's book, Dream Big, this has been out several years, and I read it a couple of years ago at the start of the year. This is a fantastic book. It truly is. Superb. I bet you wish you could gaze into a crystal ball. I bet you do. Or at least the tiny version, the magic eight ball. Anybody remember this crazy thing? I hadn't picked this up. I keep this in a collage of stuff on a back shelf of my office. I hadn't picked this up in several years, and I did this week thinking about our time this morning, and I rolled it over, and wouldn't you know it, it hasn't been lifted in a while, and so there's like bubbles and like snowy stuff all over, which means it's even more uncertain, right? What a device. Yeah. Magic eight ball, or crystal ball. Most of us, we wish we could somehow know, to discover if our dreams and schemes will truly transpire or not. What about our uncertainties, our fears, and all our unknowns? Staring into a new year, they certainly do abound, absolutely. So let's see God's word on omniscience. Let's see God's word on omniscience. Just a sample of ancient biblical texts spotlighting God's pervasively all-knowing nature. Here's the first one, 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Psalm 147, verse 4 says, he determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Now, fathom this one. Some of you have been tempted by that ad to, like, name a star. You know, buy a star, name a star. That'd be great. And like when you were in love with somebody and that's what you got them for Christmas. It's like, never get me that as a gift, okay, please. But name a star kind of thing. Well, guess what? Before anybody dreamed up that incredible business deal scheme, before anybody dreamed that one up, look at who named all the stars. The stars. He gives to all of them their names. Amazing. Some of you are still ribbing each other because you did that for one another for Valentine's Day 3 years ago. God thought it up to begin with, but he named all of them. And what's the point? Astounding. If he takes time to do that, wow. To name all the stars, to know all of them. Matthew 6, verse 8, this gets very personal. Jesus said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Woo. Wow. Let's jump in our omni-time machine again and zoom in David's direction again. No surprise that the God-trusting, giant-slaying shepherd king also made much of God's omniscience. In opening lines of Psalm 139, we saw them earlier during our worship segment. David said this. These are the lead-off verses in Psalm 139. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways, even before word is on my tongue. Behold, oh, Lord, you know it all together. David found God's scope and span of knowledge so deeply personal. When I sit down and when I rise up, God knows all our comings and goings. My thoughts from afar, David perceives how God knows all his thoughts. Wow. All my ways, every move he makes, God is fully acquainted with every road, every move. Before word is on my tongue, all David's words, whether guiding his sheep, readying soldiers for battle, rendering judgment in a kingly court, or warmly greeting emissaries from a faraway land in his years as king. Before word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Whoa, that's all inclusive. Did you catch it? You know it all together. 1 Chronicles 28:9, David instructed his son Solomon. He commanded him to know and serve God. David described God's capacity to search all hearts and understand all plans and thoughts. He said, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. God knows all things. God knows all things, including events, circumstances, places, creatures, even creation to the furthest cosmos. He even knows deepest details, tiniest tapestry, complexity in design, and ultimate destiny. Wow. The Lord knows people, their places, speech, and every hidden heart intention. In numerous gospel scenes, Jesus routinely demonstrated his own divine, all-knowing nature. This shows up all across the Gospels. Spotlight John 2, verse 24. In John 6, verse 64. John 2, 24. John 6, 64. He even displayed full knowledge of, this is amazing about Jesus, potential variables in historical situations. Those outcomes that might have occurred, he knows them. Matthew 11, verse 21. Matthew 11, 21, Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes before it happened." Christ knew all that would unfold with his betrayal, arrest, trial, and crucifixion. John 18, verse 4. In the Luke passage we read during communion this morning, if you were paying close attention, you probably noted all the things that Jesus was saying. Oh, and this won't happen until. Oh, and this will happen. Oh, and this is what's going to happen. And all of that was tightly packed in that one little scene we read a few moments ago. For Jesus, this was not mere speculation. He truly knew. Omniscience informed and guided his own choices, words, and actions. Perhaps you're still a bit skeptical about God really being all-knowing. No worries. I get it. Healthy skepticism can, in right doses, be healthy in our lives. Some of you are like, "Yeah, that's me. I'm a skeptic." Healthy skepticism in right doses can be healthy, truly. So, okay, that's fair. Maybe you say, I really could use some eyewitness testimony, something directly captured from someone's mouth. Okay, that's fair, truly is. Great call. Great call for precise qualification. So watch this. His disciples observed and were so moved by Jesus' knowledge. Look how they expressed their amazement. John 16, 29 and 30. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Did you catch it? Did you catch it? They said, "Now we know that you know all things." And did you catch the outcome? Their realization that Jesus knows all things led to their own belief in his divine origin and his nature, and it changed their lives, utterly changed their lives. Such belief propelled them forward in greater faith to know him and to love him and to serve him and to obey him and to go out on his mission, to serve his kingdom mission purposes. Now we know that you know all things. God even knows all future events. The grand story reports how he knew in advance all about those nations that would overtake and possess Israel. We see it in Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 to 43. Daniel 7, 4 through 8. In the grand Daniel scenes, we see it over and over again. His sovereign knowledge, his providence in history in light of his knowledge. He knows all about what is yet to occur in history, all that's still to come. That includes the grand culmination at the wrap-up of history as we know it. So places like Matthew 24 and 25, and all of Revelation, the book of Revelation. It is not a stretch to say this: God and his knowledge, he is in a league all his own. God and his knowledge, league all his own. Academia brought us together. Nance and I met on a college campus as freshmen. And we sat next to each other in many classes. In fact, our first substantive heart-to-heart happened on a Saturday afternoon at the campus library. Isn't that romantic? Campus library. Yes, well, everyone else, I'm not kidding you, we were in the library, the two of us and the librarian. Everybody else was outside watching a Saturday soccer game. We were nerdy and geeky enough to be studying. Yeah, gotta own it. Alas, we got distracted talking and laughing and, yes, even flirting, and eventually the librarian shushed us. There was nobody else in there. A few minutes later, she sent us packing, literally. We're like, okay. We moved just outside the library doors to a bench in the rotunda. There we sat, and we talked for nearly 2 hours. Throughout coming weeks, we discovered that we were competing along with just a couple other students for top of the class grades. Yeah, I know, totally geeky, totally nerdy, I know, but we were. And these were the days when professors posted test scores by student ID number on a bulletin board. Yes, this was Stone Age, okay? Bulletin board outside their offices. We dubbed it the Wailing Wall. Ours was a relatively small student body, so you learned each other's IDs, and so you weren't really hidden. There was nothing masked about this. The professors acted like it was, but we knew. And we were forever, Nance and I were forever jockeying back and forth for highest grades. Even after we started dating a year later, we still were. However, when push came to shove, Nance and I quickly learned we were not really the smartest ones. There was this guy, the guy who constantly displayed amazing knowledge, stunning mental agility, and test-taking acumen. His name was Michael Stevens. Michael Stevens. The guy only needed a few hours of sleep, and he seemed to have a photographic memory. Michael went on to become valedictorian of our class, beating out Nance and me both. He was teaching at a big university by the time he was 25. Legalism. Plenty of times, Nance and I said to each other, man alive, is there anything Michael doesn't know? Anything he can't ace? Michael truly was an illegal his own. But guess what? Even Dr. Michael Stevens' knowledge pales in comparison to God's knowledge. Pales in comparison to God's knowledge. Several centuries ago, there was an old Puritan, Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson, not to be confused with our present-day AI-generating IBM Watson. Puritan Watson supplied rich details lending intriguing insights into God's omniscience. Consider several Watson insights on omniscience. The perfection of God's knowledge, Watson says. The perfection of God's knowledge is primary. In other words, it's first, very first. He is the original, the pattern and prototype of all knowledge. Others borrow their knowledge of him. The angels, I love this part, the angels light their lamps at this glorious sun. If it's true for the angels, it's certainly true for us as humans. Watson identifies God as the original source and example. We pursue knowledge. Think about this. As humans, we pursue knowledge and craft understanding along with the angels in the glow of his glorious sun. We aim to take our knowledge clues this year from God and all his primary perfection. Would you dare to do that this year? Would you dare to say 2025 is going to be the year where the source of my knowledge is going to be God as the glorious sun who will light the way, who will light my life? He is going to be my source. He is going to be primary. There's more from Watson. Puritan Watson said this: God's knowledge is pure. It is not contaminated with the object. Though God knows sin, yet it is to hate and punish it. No evil can mix or incorporate with his knowledge any more than the sun can be defiled with the vapors which arise from the earth. God's knowledge is facile. It is without any difficulty. We study and search for knowledge. Proverbs 2, verse 2, if you seek for her as for silver. The lamp of God's knowledge, Watson says, the lamp of God's knowledge is so infinitely bright that all things are intelligible to him. Nothing contaminates. Think about it. Nothing contaminates, defiles, or downgrades God's knowledge. Even evil cannot actually alter it. And next time, we're going to explore more about the dark side dynamics of sin related to divine knowledge. Omnipotence and omniscience do not fragment or dissipate or suffer from diminishment. Nothing like our sad condition of human dementia. Every one of us, we have family members or in some way, friends or people within our circle affected by the horrific conditions of dementia. With such glorious brilliance, we find our highest source. With God's glorious omniscience, we find our highest source for truth and wisdom. And so, in this year, 2025, may we study passionately, like we are searching for silver this year. Like we're going after hidden treasure. God's knowledge. Let's search. Let's seek. Let's go on an all-out adventure this year to know God, to know him in greater ways. Listen to Watson's next insight. Watson says, God's knowledge is infallible. Infallible. There is no mistake in his knowledge. Human knowledge is subject to error. He gives this example. A physician may mistake the treatment of a disease. But God's knowledge is unerring. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. He cannot deceive because he is truth, nor be deceived because he has infinite wisdom. Oh. Think on this. Our Lord's knowledge is so sure, so solid, so trustworthy. So as we discover his truth, we fortify our will and ways with his sure and steady wisdom. With such reliable understanding, we can blaze new trails with bold confidence. With this kind of confidence in God's knowledge, with his infinite wisdom, with the amazing, amazing, all-knowing nature of God, his omni-nature blazes your trails for omni-living in 2025. So you get to move forward with confidence this year. You get to move forward in his knowledge this year. You come to know him better, and you'll take even better risks this year. Because you know him, the God who knows all. Next, Watson says this. Watch this. God's knowledge is instantaneous. Our knowledge is successive, one thing after another. We argue from the effect to the cause. In other words, we see something and we're like, okay, let's figure out how did that happen. Let's trace it back. Okay. That's the knowledge train we travel on, right? Those tracks. He says, God knows things past, present, and to come at once. They are all before him in one entire prospect. Okay. All right, so if you're like me, not a Dr. Michael Stevens, then you need to read those lines again. So go ahead. Just ponder them again for a moment. Go ahead. We learn in layers. We layer learn. As humans, we piece together concepts and correlate them. If you're trying to figure something out on the job, what do you do? How many of you you'd say you're problem solvers? Cool. How many of you are like, keep me away from problems? Even in your ability to suss that out and say, I don't like to do that, what are you doing? You're sorting, you're correlating, you're thinking through, you're evaluating. It's how we learn and grow. It's how we learn and grow. Not so with God. Think about it. He holds it all in perfect view from beginning to end. No wonder Jesus brackets the revelation with these words, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 1 verse 8, Revelation 22, 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And Watson adds this, God's knowledge is retentive. He never loses any of his knowledge. He remembers as well as understands. Many things elapse out of our minds, but God's knowledge is eternalized. Things transacted 1,000 years ago are as fresh to him as if they were done but the last minute. Thus, Watson sums it up like this: thus, he is perfect in knowledge. After a lifetime of learning, the best among us can expect to lose volumes of our knowledge. I loved geometry in 10th grade. Well, I still employ many of the reasoning skills I learned that year. I know I could not quickly solve all the theorems I so quickly solved back in May of 1985. As we age, the sharpest among us develop crystallized intelligence, yes, which comes in handy for imparting knowledge to the next generation and staying employed a bit longer, yeah. But God's knowledge, his is the ultimate, fullest ever, never failing, always retained in utmost perfection. So slow down to ponder. Slow down to ponder God's all-knowing nature as well as the stunning ramifications. His omniscience can have enormous implications for how we pursue our plans, our dreams, and our schemes this year. Both our frame of mind trust factor and the actions we take. God is hands down the real know-it-all. We've all known a know-it-all. Every one of us, there's somebody in our orb, our web, who feel, you know, just like, oh, jeez. God is the true know-it-all. And not in some cocky, arrogant way, no. Just in genuineness of perfection. Best ever total knowledge. He is in every way the know-it-all. The more you get to know him personally and trust your know-it-all God, the stronger and more confident a year you will have. So consider several potential implications. Several potential implications. Your future. All of 2025, and not just this year, but everything to come, can look better, brighter, feel stronger, and unfold with greater confidence. Why? God loves leaning his people into the future. It's a future he already knows and has planned. When we read the ancient biblical scenes, we see again and again what God in his omniscience was planning to do and was unfolding. Let's be clear. Even as we see those ancient stories, stories of people like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Ruth, or the great King David, or all of the incredible characters across all of the divine story, when we see it, let's be clear, we are not those ancient people. We are not the ancient Israelites. We're not Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Ruth, or the great King David, or the prophets to follow, or the New Testament leaders. No, they're exact covenant and historical context was their own. It's not ours today. However, God is still every bit as faith and future oriented about you and all he has in store. Truly, he leans us into the future. So what? So what? Let's do a little more omni-storming. A couple weeks ago, I threw that concept at you. It's like brainstorming, except you stop and you pause, and in light of what you're learning about God's omni-nature, how should that impact my omni-living? So what? So what? How can this wonderfully affect your omni-year? By the way, books finally came in, our big stash of them. So as you leave today, if you want to grab a copy of what we curated about this series, feel free to grab one on your way out there at the round table as you go out. We'd love you to grab one. They're free. Feel free to grab that. Because God knows all things, you can passionately trust and obey him even more when it comes to your future this year. So what? Well, first of all, trust him with your big unknowns and all those dangling uncertainties. Dare to trust him more. With all your unknowns and all those things that feel like they're haunting you and all those fears that get you all tangled up and some of those things that you thought about last time we were together and you were like, oh. Watch this. Take a look. So amidst the uncertainty and the unknowns, we can step out courageously. You can follow his lead because he knows it all. You can follow with confidence. He already knows every inch of who he is calling you to be and where he is calling you to go and what he is calling you to do in this coming year. So step into that future with bigger, better, bolder faith, confident that he knows the way. Courageously connect with new people. Courageously connect with new people God brings on your path. After all, who knows what fresh friendships and eternal influence your all-knowing God might have in store for others through you this year. This is the marvelous good news of God's omniscience. And we're going to take a next bold step and explore more next week together. Let's stand. The team's going to come and lead us in a closing song. Let's stand together. Let's get ready to sing. I invite you in these moments to tune your heart. When we're all done, in just a couple minutes, you'll have the opportunity, if you'd like to join prayer team here at the front and share with others and what's going on and be prayed over, or give God some praises. I want to pray for us right now, and then we'll sing out. Lord, thank you that you know it all. And that is truly mind-blowing, Lord. And we can try together to grasp that. I can try to explain it. We can try with one another to explain it. And yet our best attempts fall short. And so, Lord, in these moments, we simply want to tell you how much we worship you and adore you and love you and are in awe. We say it, oh, Lord God, wow. And we ask you to lead us forward in greater faith, greater courage, greater boldness in this coming year. Because you are omniscient. Because you know it all. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.